Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey!
Hey, Shireen!
Hey, this is Shireen. You said my name already. Hey,
this
Anna.
This is Anna. You said my name.
This is another episode of Ethnically Ambiguous, and today we are joined by... We had such a lovely conversation, and I'm stalling because I'm remembering how to pronounce their last name.
Shireen, you can
Roz Dresvelez.
You yes. got it!
Yes!
Yeah! Roz is here with us.
Yes, hey. We had an amazing conversation about how they found drag, about going to a Catholic school and grappling with sexuality. And then ultimately, a big part of this conversation was about the supernatural and ghosts and how Roz has conversations with people about their experiences. And it's really, really fun.
On the podcast, Ghosted with Roz Dresvelez. Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Back in weird times as usual.
Yeah, it's always a very weird time. It's an especially weird time. I mean, yeah, we're recording this on June 1st, so
yes.
It's a very emotional time right now for everybody. And if it's not an emotional time for you, check your privilege. But we decided to keep on going with the podcast because we think these conversations are important, so we hope you guys appreciate it.
Yeah, we wanted to continue to uplift voices that are not the mainstream, like white people, if you will.
The whiteys.
Yes, the whites.
The whites.
Who own and run everything.
Yep, and still complain about everything.
I know.
And make it about themselves.
Gets very upset if you break a window, like it matters. That's where we're at. So anyway, yes, the past weekend was a lot of protests still going on, erupted all over the country because of the murder of George Floyd and just the overall systematic oppression and racism in our country.
Yeah. Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, they're just...
Tony McDade, many.
It's been piling on for, honestly, decades, if not centuries. And I think
since day one.
Yeah, it's
since
it's,
day one of USA. I mean,
truly,
or whatever, before
this country
that
was built on just blood, and America has looted people of color and Black people in particular for so long. So, I don't know. Just I guess ultimately, before we get into this episode, just stand with Black Lives Matter. Donate if you can. Protest if you can. But stay safe. Be sure to wear your mask outside. Protect each other. We have to stay healthy so we can keep fighting for each other. This fight is not white versus Black. It is racism versus everyone else. And so make sure that you're everyone else. And it's not an issue that can be solved with just people of color. We have to all come together with on this. So that's all I want to say on that before we get really deep. This is not supposed to be like a soapbox, but you know what I mean. It would be bad not to bring it up. I would be remiss to not say what's... I can't think of anything else, honestly. That's
well,
all I
mean,
on my mind.
I think also remember that white supremacy is rampant. That's why the police exist, to uphold capitalism and white supremacy and hold down people of color and black people and anyone who falls under a certain class that they feel isn't, their lives are not worth, I guess, caring about. I mean, it's truly an absurd thing to say out loud when you're like, oh, yeah, we shouldn't care about you because you're skin color, but that's the country we live in. And what an uplifting note, you guys. Yeah. And so we have decided to continue to bring on more people of color so they can talk about their experiences so it becomes more mainstream, because guess what? This country was built on the back of immigrants. So today we have a really great guest. Now, I met this guest a while back because they have a podcast called Ghosted on Starburns Audio. They're a comedian. They're an actor. They're a drag queen. We have Roz Dresvalez on the show.
Hi.
Sorry for that. Now you speak to us.
Okay. Thank
Roz
you guys
has been
so
here
much.
The whole time.
I know.
Spoiler alert. They've been listening to us, just waiting for us to stop talking. I'm just kidding. No. I have never met Roz. I've never met you. And so I'm excited as a listener and a podcaster to get to know you on the show, because I kind of like genuinely getting to know someone for the first time on this podcast, even though you could argue that I should be doing my research. And I did do the bare minimum, but I really enjoy getting the nitty gritty in person, like as close to in person as I can get.
Well, I mean, but it's also sort of with the state of where we are right now, it's like we could meet over Zoom the way we are right now. It's just, you know, we're being recorded. So.
Yeah,
exactly.
But, you know, it's kind of nice to get to talk to some people right now. I really need it. It's been a couple of days.
Yeah.
But thank you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Thank you so much for being you and being okay with being on the show. I think it's been nice to find people that are familiar with podcasting to be guests during this time in particular. So it's not a complete lesson every time.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of a millennial. Like, a lot of my friends are Gen X, and they always are mad that I don't know how to do the technical stuff, because that's sort of why I'm around for them, it seems. And I don't know how to do anything. So I apologize. I was trying to figure out how to do all my equipment and stuff, because I've had to figure it out in the quarantine so I can do my podcast every week. And it's been a process, but now I've got this beautiful mic from Amazon, and
it's great. It's a snowball mic, right? Is that what you guys were talking about earlier?
And I'm just you know, in a shower right now. I'm at my partner's house in San Diego. I live in LA, but we had to make that decision early. We had only been together for like 3 months, and then all this stuff started happening, and we were like, the coronavirus stuff, and we were like, well, I guess we're just gonna stick together. So I came down here and been trying my best to podcast, but I feel so bad for him, because he certainly never planned on this being a recording studio. He lives in between a fire department and a police station.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of sirens all the time. And today there was construction going on. But hey, it's quiet right now, so let's talk quick.
Yeah.
We'll take what we can get.
Yeah. I mean, I really like, we talked about you being in your shower before we started recording. And there's no visual for this, but I do want everyone to know that Roz has a space background right now as we're recording. Flying through space.
Yeah, and I'm also here in this gorgeous gown that I'm wearing. Just, I think there's at least 4,000 Swarovski crystals on it.
You just came out of the Met Ball. That's what it looks like.
It makes me feel like I should have put on a whole fit I don't have my look on. I am just wearing a t-shirt and no pants because you can't see my bottom. So why should I wear pants?
Same. Same. I never have pants on anymore. Yeah. No pants. No pants podcast.
What if we didn't realize that just your gown was just the top of your body and we just didn't know that you had like a gorgeous gown, just the top made. And we're like,
yeah, it's like those tuxedo shirts that people wear, but it's
exactly. Okay, well, let's get into you. Let's get into your life, who you are. I'm learning this for the first time, so I'm genuinely curious. Where'd you grow up, and what's like a little bit of your story?
Well, I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I mean, like, when we talk about gender and my pronouns and all that stuff, it's been a really interesting journey. I feel like so much of that conversation really started to happen in our society or our community a lot more the past few years. And so I'm still identified as a gay man for like the longest time. And then the past few years, I've been kind of like exploring my gender a little bit more. So I'm not even fully sure where I'm at with that. I'm just sort of enjoying the process of it. But growing up, I always identified as male, and I went to Catholic school, and I moved out here when I was 17 by myself.
Oh, wow.
And I have now been here for 11 years. Well, in LA, not San Diego, but for 11 years. And I do stand up and I do drag and acting and hosting and this podcast where I talk to people about ghosts. And
I do want to get into your podcast a little bit later because I'm so fascinated by it. But the fact that you grew up in Catholic school, I think, is very, very intense, considering like the person that you are now currently. So can you get into that a little bit?
Not Catholic.
Yeah.
I felt that whole other thing a lot growing up. I didn't necessarily identify with the Catholic religion growing up, though it somehow still, you know, it still found its way into my core being today. And certain, when it comes to certain beliefs and guilt and that sort of a thing. But I'm also Mexican, and I grew up in Michigan, and there was at least in the community I grew up in, there was a really not much of a Latin or Mexican community at all. So that kind of contributed to this otherness as well.
And how did your family end up there?
You know, my family ended up there in the 60s. Ooh. And they ended up there to farm and to, you know, pick fruits, and then they stayed there.
Yeah.
And so they sort of taught, like, when my dad was a child, it was really important for him to learn English because he was also like the only Mexican kid in his school. So he had to learn English, and then, you know, he sort of passed that down to us. So it's kind of once I moved out to Los Angeles and I started being around Latinx people for the first time, it was really interesting. It's been interesting, you know, growing up when I was the only one, and then here when I'm like the only one from the Midwest that I know. It's like always kind of that. But
we're really lucky in California to be so surrounded by Latin culture, Mexican culture. Like, I think I feel so privileged when I think about that, because it's a really beautiful, rich culture. And I think every immigrant can relate kind of to a baseline immigrant experience. And so I was going to ask you how it felt to move to California and like be surrounded by people that like speak like your family, or like for the first time ever not be like the only person that looks like you. So
And I think it's also great to be in a place like LA because it's such a melting pot of all different kinds of cultures, you know. Like, I didn't grow up around very many different kinds of cultures. Like, I was pretty much surrounded by white Catholic people for the most part.
Yeah. What was it like being a Mexican American in a Catholic school, but also someone that was, I'm assuming, like grappling with your sexuality in a really, I don't want to assume homophobic, but like a school that didn't really appreciate sexuality in a way that you do?
You know, it was so interesting because I had like a movie moment where all of a sudden I was 16 and I started doing theater, and I was dealing with a lot of just feeling like I don't belong here. Mm-hmm. Just all that kind of thing. And all of a sudden I met a boy that was also my age who was openly gay. And I was like, it was just like that movie moment where my whole life flashed before my eyes. And I was like, oh my God, I've been queer this whole time. That's wow. what it is. And the second I figured it out, I pretty much confided in people that were close to me, that I knew I could trust. And for the most part, it was the right people that were supportive. And so I wasn't grappling with that for years, and not knowing what to do with it. I just didn't know what I was grappling with until I figured that part out. And then I figured that out within a year, my last year of being in Catholic school in the Midwest. And then I left and moved right to LA and lived my gay Mexican American fantasy.
It is interesting where if you're raised in these immigrant families who don't, one, you know, no one talks about your emotions. No one's like, look inside. How do you feel? You know, you don't learn the tools to understand what you're experiencing. So that's actually very interesting. You're like, I didn't know I was, you know, queer at any point. It just was like, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe, I don't know if you experienced this, but like my immigrant parents never said anything to me. Like sexuality wasn't a thing. It was just like, you can't have a boyfriend until you're 18. And I was like, okay, like I don't even know what I'm feeling on the inside.
Well, for me, I can relate to that for sure. And I think like for me it was more like my dad was telling us, you can't get like, you have to marry a Muslim man. That's just like, you have to be with a man. And so I started being attracted to women when I was in middle school, or like realizing I was attracted to women. And again, as in a family that doesn't discuss sexuality or like seeing how you feel or anything, you're confronted with these feelings in a really public setting. And you're like, what's wrong with me? Like, is this normal? Am I broken? Am I sinful, or whatever these feelings are? And you're left to kind of like, for me anyway, it was a pretty intense process to like accept myself for being attracted to both men and women. But
something to add to that too, I think about constantly is, I mean, I'm just going to assume that you guys are like give or take around my age, like millennial age. It's so weird how it wasn't that long ago, but the representation of like queer people, or really all kinds of diversity, there was so, it was so little, like 15 years ago. It's really weird. It's like, who do you look up to? You know, there was
Ellen. I remember growing up with Ellen, and she was just like not the kind of, obviously not represented by Ellen DeGeneres. You know what I mean? So it's like,
it's sort of like there's very few role models. And if you don't relate to them, it's like, wait, then what? You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's what's wonderful about today is that kids have podcast, you know, they have podcasts, they have YouTubers, they have like so many more options, which is great. Yeah.
Even just like Instagram influencers, you're like, I mean, they represent a certain aspect that people can look into and look, understand and be like, I see myself in that person. Well,
I think about constantly, if RuPaul's Drag Race was on when I was 10 years old, I would have been one of these drag children.
Yeah,
that are doing it as kids, 100%. A story that I feel like I probably have told a few times, but I love thinking about it. It's like cute, sad, I don't know what, but it's 100% true. When I was 10, I developed a clown character. Now, trigger warning if anyone's terrified of clowns. No. I love clowns. And when I was a kid, I was just a weirdo that was like, didn't know where to put this creativity. And my father was also a clown as like a side job. You know, I think he also was looking for a place to put his creativity and his need to perform. And I developed my own clown persona. He's more of like an educator that dresses like a clown. I was like, oh, I want to learn magic tricks. I want to juggle. Mm-hmm. I want to tell mm-hmm. jokes. I want to do makeup. You know, even yeah. even when you're a clown, you want to be different than your parents, you know?
Even so, if your dad's a clown, I want to be a different clown.
Yeah. So I developed like this whole other kind of clown, and I started hustling and I started getting gigs left and right. And I was, getting, you know, $50 a party. I was yeah. doing different like community events or like birthday parties or whatever I could drum up. And I loved it. And then one day the newspaper wrote an article about me and I was so excited. And then I went to school the next day and my, like, I guess it was kind of a dirty little secret that I was that I had this clown thing, because I mean, obviously it wasn't cool.
Yeah.
And then I just started getting made fun of, and then I gave it up, and it was something that made me so happy as a Aww. Kid. So Aww. As I became an adult, I realized how much that impacted me up until my adult years, when I discovered drag. And I was, you know, a lot of people can, in a comedic way, compare drag queens to clowns. Like, a lot of drag queens will call themselves like clowns, and honestly, there is there's a lot of different kinds of drag, but there, at least the kind of drag I do, there is a lot of similarity. You know, there's a lot of, it's over the top, it's comedic, it's makeup, it's, you know, creating mm-hmm. an act, it's many things. And so when I found that, I was also, I mean, this was like 10 years ago, when drag still wasn't what it is now, but I was kind of sitting there going like, I really want to do this, but I'm just afraid of what will come with it, what people will think, what mm-hmm. How my family will react, all that kind of stuff. And I just did it. And so I've realized that so much of what I've done is like for that little kid when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And I think but anyway, this is just a long way of me saying, if Drag Race was on when I was a kid, it would have been that. I probably would have been doing drag and entertaining, like, you know, the community. And
yeah, well, that's just how important representation yeah. is. That's how important just seeing you yourself in the media is, because you're right. I mean, and also it's just really telling of how fucking children bullying, like kid bullies, like they fuck you up for your entire yeah. life. Like, children yeah. are brutal, and the things that you are hurt by as a child carry with you and well into adulthood. And I mean, I say this often about the stuff that we do, but we need to be the people that we needed when we were younger. Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's I don't know, I think yeah
I'll truly never forget some of the insults I got being bullied Same. Growing up. Like, I remember this kid just being like, you're a fucking idiot. And then my whole life I was like, God, I'm a fucking idiot. You know, like, it truly stains you in a weird yeah. way where you're like, I know I'm not an idiot. Clearly I'm not an idiot. I've gotten this far, you know, like yeah. even like the phrase idiot, it's just so like, it's just dismissive in a way that yeah. really means nothing. It's like, how do you know I'm an idiot? You know?
Yeah.
And of
yeah.
course I've come a long way thanks to therapy, but like, it's still like, I still call myself a fucking idiot because of some dumb bully in yeah. fifth grade, because I asked him for help on like a math thing, like, because I'm bad at math. So I was like asking for help and he got frustrated with me and called me an idiot. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. It's like, my bad.
Yeah.
You're but my age.
When you're a little kid, it's like, that's your entire world. It's so interesting, like, having nieces and nephews, and like the little exposure I have to children or teenagers these days, you get reminded like that is the entire world that you live in. You have mm-hmm. to go back to school the next day. Like,
yeah.
oh, I still, do you guys have nightmares about going to school? Like, I still sometimes yeah. have nightmares that it's like, oh my God, I have to go back to school tomorrow.
Well, because it was traumatic. It's traumatic, especially when you're othered the whole time. Yeah. I got bullied relentlessly, like, for so many things, but like, I wasn't allowed to like shave my legs for a while, so I would sometimes, and like we weren't allowed to like wear shorts or tank tops in my family, so for a really hot day during PE I would be in pants and like a long sleeve t-shirt sometimes, and I would get made fun of for it. Or I had like a red freckle, like a birthmark on my nose, that really was I don't know, made me self-conscious. I was called Rudolph by a friend of mine, and I still think about that as an adult woman. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's just, I don't know. But yeah, we're going to get more into all of our childhood traumas after we take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Roz.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
I want to say one thing. You know what drives me just absolutely nutty is how I had a unibrow growing up and how like trendy mm-hmm. unibrows are now.
Oh my god.
You don't know the pain my eyebrows.
I shaved off my eyebrows when I was in the 7th grade because I was so tired of being hairy. And I just took a razor, I went right down the middle of my fucking face, and I woke up the next day, my mom, like, she stirred me awake for school, and she looked at me and just, like, screamed. She was like, what did you do? And it's now just because you're tired of being called hairy. Like, you're just called hairy, and you're called, you know what I mean? You're just trying to fit in. And now my eyebrows are, like, non-existent, basically, so just whatever.
But I feel like there's so many, that's so true of so many things that are, that go on to be considered hip. It's like, they start out with everyone being like, you're so weird. Like, I always think of like a David Bowie or something when he started, it's like everyone was like, oh, I get this. They were like, no, this is weird. And then people realize like, oh, that's what I like. We all want to be whatever.
Like, I remember getting made fun of for like my mustache. And again, because I'm fucking hairy, but we weren't like bombarded with like positive images of like Frida Kahlo or like we are now. And I can see that now, like positivity, not just with body hair, but just like image is like so much more available now, but just as the same way that like Drag Race wasn't on, different forms of representation just weren't available to us. And so it's really important, again, to just circle back, and especially as people that have like a platform, to like realize, I think a lot of creators are striving to be the people they needed growing up, you know,
because definitely.
We're filling a space that a younger version of us desperately is looking at just to be like, I'm okay this way.
So, yeah, I think about that all the time.
Yeah. I do want to ask, can you mention before the break that you you moved to LA when you were 17 and that you came out to people that you knew or your close friends? Did you have a conversation with your family? Like how is it possible for you to leave? Because it's a pretty young age to move out like states. So what was that like?
Yeah, that was honestly really fucking weird. It's kind of a long story, but basically I did one of these random auditions for one of those things that you hear on the radio that's like, could your son be on the Disney Channel? Show up to the Marriott or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I like randomly showed up to one of those things and got involved, like got accepted and got like became a part of it. And then I competed in this thing and then I won all these prizes from it. And honestly, like a lot of times those things are like scams. This one, I mean, I'm sure there was elements of that. I don't know, but it got me like agents and that kind of thing. And at the time I was like acting as a boy and, you know, a closeted boy because this was 2008, which again, so different for an actor at the time that it is now. And so I think because of that, it was the summer before I was going into senior year of high school. So it was kind of a weird choice to have to make, but my parents were luckily supportive. I mean, it wasn't easy for them, but they were supportive and let me go. And so I moved out to LA and, you know, did a couple of commercials and stuff and got an apartment and went
That's
to school
crazy.
And all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
you must have had to grow up pretty fast then, if you have to be independent at 17, away from your family, like not even a drive's away. You know what I mean? It's like a flight.
Yeah. Well, I should also add that sobriety is a part of my story.
Uh-huh.
I was partying real hard in those days, and I've learned that too was a lot of like growing up way too fast, like all this responsibility that I was not ready for, on top of like grappling with all these other feelings and trying to figure out who I was. And it was a messy time. I mean, it was a fun time, but it was a messy time. Mm-hmm. And it definitely made me grow up real quick. And that's why I said like a lot of my friends are older. Like I've kind of, there's something about older people that I mean, people older than me, like a generation or so older than me, that I really have always like related to and looked up to. And I've always kind of sought out having a mentor. And because of that, I've been really lucky to have mentors, which have, you know, kept me alive.
Yeah.
I feel like usually I'm funny, but like it's such a weird time to be funny.
No, you know what I mean? It feels wrong to try to not be present in this current state and time. It's just like we're not expecting you to turn it on for us at all. It's if anything, this conversation is, I'm sure, can relate to a lot of people. I mean, I like these conversations. I like when we get deep because,
thank you.
Yeah. So, but we can get as deep as you want. We can get as light as you want. It's your game. We're just living in it.
Sure.
Yes. It's your game.
I don't know. I've never said that before in my life. Quarantine has made me incapable of conversation.
Yes. We are all playing a game of ball.
Sports ball. I love sports ball. Okay. Well, let's go back in time. You're 17. You're doing commercials. You're auditioning for things. How do you, find your footing, or like, how do you find drag, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like, how did you find that outlet as someone who back then you're saying that you were identified as a gay man?
Yeah. I believe the first time I saw a drag queen was in at this club in Orange County that was an 18 and up night, and it was this iconic drag queen that still is out there kicking. And when I say kicking, I mean she literally kicks her leg over her head. She's been doing it for decades, and she's truly iconic. Her name is Dolly Levi, and she's LA based, and she's like, she's just been around for a long time and still has like a very old school work ethic, like a, she's just a worker. Yeah. And anyway, she was the first one I ever met, and I was like, oh yeah, that's what I need to be doing. And then she was so cool to give me her number, and then we kind of talked it over, and that was, I mean, that was right around the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race. So it was still, I mean, I had a little bit of context. I was able to see, but even when you're 18 and you can't go to club, I mean, there's only like, right, you know, once a month or once a week places that you can go and hope to see a drag queen. But yeah, there wasn't, I mean, there was honestly very little even on YouTube at that time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of hard to get your hands on things. And again, I'm like, I feel like I'm 4,000 years old being like, back in my day, but like, honestly, like,
it wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago, but that's really how it was. I learned how to do makeup from books.
Yeah. Which is
like, what a dinosaur.
People don't realize how lucky they are to live in a time where you can like YouTube anything.
Yeah.
And it comes up. Like anything, any kind of technique you want to learn, any workout, any makeup thing. Like, it's just everything. You're flooded with so many things. I remember growing up, like, I remember even just, like, this is, like, not really related at all, but, like, my parents would, like, we would drive with a giant map book.
Yeah.
Like, around, trying to find a restaurant or something. Like,
yeah, people,
like, it's, everything's at your fingertips now, and I can only imagine being interested in makeup back then and kind of not feeling allowed to be interested and teaching yourself, you know. That's a crazy thing to tackle,
printing out MapQuest directions.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Yeah, when I moved out here, I had a Garmin, and I thought I was I still have it, and I don't know why. I don't use it, but I'm like, I might need it one day. You know, why? I don't need
I have, I save mine in my glove compartment. You never know. What if your phone dies?
With all the political unrest, you never know, they're jamming signals. That Garmin is actually going to come in handy. Yeah.
Oh yeah, my God.
That's
you
don't
know how many times I was like looking for an Olive Garden and ended up like in someone's neighborhood, or like it was not right.
No, it's not a very good device at all.
No.
But so this drag queen, do you consider her your first mentor of sorts? Because you said that you really like were looking for people to
definitely
mentor.
I think she was. I mean, I also had my friend Jeff, who I met. I was, you know, like 17, and he was like a couple years older than me, but to me felt so much old, like he had lived like such a gay life. So he was the first one, I believe, that showed me like Margaret Cho and God, so many things that were like part of gay culture that really have shaped me to today. Mm-hmm. And I, it's so cool living in LA and working in LA, because I've gotten to become friends with like so many people that I looked up to back then when I was just trying to figure it all out. And it's just kind of like, it's surreal, but I don't know. I hope that I can do that for people younger than me as well.
Yeah. So you had Margaret Cho on your podcast.
I did, which is like,
that
so
must have been
cool.
Crazy to like bring it full circle like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I've worked in stand-up for quite a while, quite a few years now, and I was a door person at the Improv in Hollywood, and so I met, like, everybody. But for some reason, I, like, always kind of missed Margaret Cho. Like, it would be, like, I'd go in there, and then I'd be like, oh, who was here last night? And when I had the night off or whatever, and they'd go, oh, Margaret Cho was here, and they would always, I'd always miss her.
You were just like, God damn it.
But so she's the one person I ever really, like, paid to see do stand up, because I would just, you know, basically get paid to see everyone else do stand up. And I actually, like, you know, multiple times paid to see her because I loved her so much, and still do. And so, yeah, it was super cool that she came on and shared some of her ghost stories.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, so it sounds like growing up, did you always know you wanted to be a performer? Like, was that just what you were drawn to? Like, you were doing the clown thing?
Yeah, well, I've always wanted to do kind of everything. Like, I played guitar when I was in high school, and I was, like, in little rock bands. And
Wait, what was it called? Was it, you had, like, a name for the band, or was it
You
multiple?
Know what? Not really. We, at one point...
You were a jam band.
There was, we the problem was nobody wanted to sing. All of our voices were changing. Nobody wanted to be a singer. Yeah. So we would basically just play covers of other people's. Also, shout out to the church. I also played guitar at church.
Wow.
Which was my first, post-clown was like my first job.
Wow, that's really funny. I mean, that's how Katy Perry got her start. That's how Lana Del Rey got her start. You never fucking know the pivot that'll happen.
Right. So, I played guitar. I, made balloon animals when I was young. I would tell jokes as a kid. I would tell jokes that I didn't understand. I was actually just reminded of this the other day. Like, I would tell jokes, like, I would be like five, maybe not five, seven, I don't know how old, young. Yeah. And I would like stand with like a comb as my microphone in the living room. And I would look around the room and I'd go, what did the lamp say to the light bulb? You turn me on. And then, but I didn't know what I was saying, but everyone would die laughing, whatever. So all these things I used to do. And then, I actually learned makeup before I got into drag. And so
theater probably, right?
Yeah. And theater. Yeah. And I did theater and I acted. And so many things. And that's why the best way for me to focus it all was to put it all into drag, where there's really no rules. You can literally do it all at the same time. So now I mean, to the point of one of the, I don't really do drag numbers a whole lot anymore, but when I was doing drag numbers, one of the most common one that I would do like often was me making balloon animals and juggling, like stuff that I learned when I was 10. Because I'm like, no other drag queen's doing it.
Exactly. That's so unique to you. I love that. I love that you are proud of that history and talent of yours. Yeah, juggling is hard.
You know, I just really have always been like, I think that people grow up feeling different and they go those two different routes. And I don't think that there's anything really wrong with either, as long as they're happy, where you can either go the route of, being different is wrong and I want to fit in. And, or you say I'm different and I hated it for a long time. And you know what? Like, that's actually what makes me. And I feel like that's kind of the route that I've had to take. It's just like, I'm different and I want to just keep, I actually now I'm comfortable being different and I actually don't like it when I'm, put in the same category as everyone else.
Yeah, I agree with that. How were your parents encouraging of your wanting to be a performer or all the different things you did? Or were they trying to sway you in a different direction?
I think, yes, they are. But when you start getting into drag and it becomes this, you're adding gender and sexuality and it becomes like really a whole nother issue. I mean, my parents are very supportive now and I've talked to them about my gender identity and so many different things. But I think, and I'm not mad at my parents for this because I understand, I think it's important to sometimes understand with parents that have a hard time with it, that a lot of times they just have never seen anything like it. And, they don't know, they're concerned for your safety and they just assume that, they kind of assume the worst. And I mean, I think that there's elements of that in my parents where they're just like, I don't know if this, I mean, you could be an actor as a boy. Like, why wouldn't you do that? But it's like, this is how I feel more comfortable. And I think it's also like successes that I've had has also made them be like, oh, okay, we get it. Like other people are seeing it. It's not just like, you're not just being like somebody that's like outrageous for whatever reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, so they've been very supportive. Yeah. It's been a journey though.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that, but are both your parents immigrants? or
no, actually, okay. Well, neither of my parents are immigrants. I hope, is that a...
No, that's that, fine.
You're that not allowed on the podcast.
Okay, I'm kidding.
We're like 40 minutes in.
No. I mean...
I shouldn't have assumed they were immigrants.
I'm just curious because I don't...
Yeah, no, that's what's interesting. Like, especially being Mexican, my... I'm second generation. And my dad was born in the 50s. So, I mean, he was born... Or no, I was that third generation. My parents, no, my grandparents were not born here.
Then you're second generation. Yeah.
Okay.
But it sounds like, because you cannot be an immigrant, but it sounds like he grew up in like an insulated community that, because if he had to learn to speak English.
Right.
Yeah.
Then he's still.
It
still puts you in like an other category because people look at you and go like, well, you're different. And for, I feel like families like that, they want. Their whole idea is just fit in. So like you don't get pointed out or you don't get bullied. Like it's like they wanted you to fit in so you wouldn't feel othered because they want to protect you. Like that's what I feel like.
Yeah, which is something that I honestly struggled with growing up where I was like, I would feel bad about that. I mean, we didn't. Yeah. My dad does not speak Spanish. And so. That was an insecurity. I mean, it still kind of is an insecurity for me that I wasn't raised with Spanish in the household but then I have to remember back then they were really just trying to fit in and they wanted, I mean, they kept their culture, but they also,
they wanted you to acclimate.
Yeah. It was all about that.
It was about survival. It's just, that's what it boils down to. It's about survival for the family and making sure that you are successful. And when you're told being other is wrong, then you try to not be that. So yeah. We're going to take one more break. We will be right back with more. Rah!
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
I'm Elia Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Let's talk about your podcast, Ghosted. Tell us, okay, I want to know how you became interested in the paranormal and what drew you to making a whole podcast about it, because I'm fascinated with paranormal things, because I think, I feel like the majority of people must have had to have had some experience, and that's what your podcast is all about. So tell us about this journey and this passion.
See, I thought that too, because I thought that most people have had experiences, because I grew up Catholic, which is honestly a very supernatural
religion. The spookiest religion.
Yes, there's a lot of supernatural elements to it. And then I went, you know, I was that and also a creative, and you know, I don't want to generalize, but like there are a lot of creative people that believe in this stuff. And so, I mean, at least what I was always surrounded by. So I thought that, but as I've dove in deeper into the topic, I've learned that there's actually a lot of people that have not had these experiences and a lot of people that don't believe in it. And that's okay. What my show is, my goal is that it's still fun to listen to hear people's experiences. And a lot of times it's spooky. Sometimes it's, you know, very sentimental. Sometimes it's sad. But basically what the show is it's inspired by my favorite TV show of all time, which is called Celebrity Ghost Stories, which is celebrities telling ghost stories. And living in Hollywood, I mean, I knew so many celebrities and, you know, different creatives, and I thought it would be fun to have them come on and share stories and, you know, talk about things that they don't always talk about. And so that's what we do every Thursday. I have on different guests, and I also once a month have a listener episode where I interview people that listen to the show. That's and every great. Once in a while I have I on like psychics that. And quote unquote experts, you know, people that work in the field. And I don't identify as an expert at all, but it's definitely a way for me to learn more, because I think it's such a tricky thing, the paranormal, because so much of it is just anecdotal evidence. And so it's just a matter of gathering more and more stories. And so I've gathered more and more from, you know, celebrities and comedians and drag queens and normal people that listen to the show that aren't in showbiz. And so I'm learning more as we go. But I have always been interested in it because I grew up in a house where my grandmother stuck around after she passed, and she was a sweet ghost. And
you
she...
can't just gloss over this. You have to go into detail. I won't allow it.
She was still a grandma, which is something that I've learned from talking to more and more people, is that even though it was my grandma, I was always still kind of like, ooh, grandma. But
wait, so was that your first supernatural experience?
Yeah. But, you know, I've had to learn that, like, it's still, she's still a human. And, you know, if you are to believe in this stuff, she, you know, she was a human, and she was there for a reason. I believe she was there because she passed when I was young, and she was, you know, it's weird because she primarily, that I know of, has visited me and my other cousin, who's the same age as me, and we were the two youngest of all the grandkids. So I kind of feel like she felt like she didn't have enough time with us, and that's why she visited us. I don't know. That's just what I've gathered. But yeah, one time she visited me in the middle of the night. I just like saw her very quickly, and she just kind of looked at me and was like, don't worry, you're safe. And then she disappeared.
Wow.
And then, you know, when I was growing up, like, she would be a grandma. Like, I remember fighting with my mom. I remember being in my basement. Midwest in the basement. And my mom being like, get up here and do chores. And then I'm like, ugh, like under my breath, just being a teenager, like, oh, this bitch or whatever, you know, terrible things I would say as a teenager. And as I'm like walking up the stairs, this like kind of arts and craft thing that was on the wall that my grandmother actually made, like flew off the wall in front of me. And I was like, oh, grandma's mad. She doesn't want me to talk to my mom like that. Got it. That happened to me twice. The other time it was a candle, like a little glass candle holder kind of thing that flipped off of the table in front of me and fell on the
ground. That's incredible.
So grandma was mad when I was being a little brat. So yeah, and because of that, I feel that I'm open to it. And I guess a lot of people believe that that's one of the criteria to have these experiences is being open to it. And I believe that as well to an extent. And so because of that, I've had a lot of experiences. And for the sake of the show, not because I love ghosts, but for the sake of the show, I've gone to various haunted locations and tried to have my own experiences to share. And I'm going to continue to, you know, once we can get back out there, I mean, I'm terrified of ghosts, but I'm willing to do it for the listeners.
Anything for the That's pod.
Cool. Yeah. But yeah, we've had really fun. Like we've had Elvira, who's my absolute idol, Cassandra Peterson. She's been on, and in quarantine, you know, I've still been doing it. I've had Karen Kilgariff of My Favorite Murder. I've had Busy Phillips, Wendy McClendon Covey, Jack Osborne. I mean, we just keep it going every week. Yeah. Someone different.
I like that a lot. And I really like bringing on people that people might know already, like celebrities that have been interviewed billions of times, but not in this context. Like, it's the same reason why I like the show Hot Ones, where celebrities just like eat hot wings together and it gets spicier and spicier. And then it's a different setting to get different questions out of people, and you get an element of them that you would never have gotten otherwise. And it's a very fascinating topic that doesn't get talked about. Like,
yeah, you learn
having
more
experiences. I think you're right to an extent that you have to be open to experience the supernatural, because if you're closed off, you're never going to experience anything, let alone the supernatural. But
that's how I feel. I feel like you have to be open to it, because I'm like a scaredy cat. Everything scares me. I can't watch scary movies. So like, I had some weird things happen when I was growing up where like I would dream things and then they would like outfits. Mm-hmm. Like I would have a dream I was wearing an outfit, and then I would put the outfit on because I dreamt about it. And I was like, I don't know why, but mm-hmm. I think I should put on these white overall shorts. And then like multiple people around me would be wearing the same. It was like weird stuff where I'd be like, that's not right. But it would scare me to a point where I was like, I have to shut myself off to this. But then as I got older, I became more open to it, because I was like, okay, you don't have to be scared. Like, I understand you're like a little scaredy child, but like I had to come back around to it to like want to like follow it and hear more about it. And I'm like very interested in paranormal stuff.
I'm so into it. I think for me, I was always interested because I grew up Muslim, and there's creatures in Islam called jinn.
Yeah,
jinn used to scare the shit out of me.
They used
it's spelled
to terrify
with like a D,
me,
right?
It's either there are two spellings. It's either djinn or just I've seen it just jinn, but
okay,
I think the actual way is the D, but people just like take it off because it's silent anyway.
Yeah.
But I grew up, and these jinn were always these creatures we learned about, and we couldn't see them. But for the first 2 years of elementary school, I went to a mosque for like a private school and for kindergarten. And then we ended up just doing Saturday school until I was like a teenager. But these creatures were always being taught to you, and they're so supernatural and figureless. And so I was always so fascinated and terrified of these creatures. And me and my mom have very intense dreams, like similar to Anna. Like, I think my pathway into being open to things being possible is having these intense dreams coupled with like really intense deja vu that just like could not shake. Like, it felt like I was, for whatever reason, pulled out of the present moment and looking at everything for a split second, and I could predict everything, and then it came right back, and it was like, was that deja vu? Was that a memory? Was I in a different fucking timeline? I don't fucking know, but I believe something is bigger out here.
Yeah.
But when you grow up and you have these experiences and like your mom has these dreams, you kind of feel like a freak, to be honest, because like no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to talk about, like, at least for me, I felt like I was a little bit like a weirdo. And now I realize being a weirdo is a great thing, just similar to you, like the things that make you different are the things that you embrace. But
it's weird. It's what I've also learned. I didn't go into it this podcast thinking this, but there is a lot of those lessons in life that we learn. You can also learn through the paranormal, like what you were just saying, or, you know, being afraid of it is also that fear of the unknown, which is also something that, like, the same reason people see a drag queen and go, you're evil. Like, you know, there's a lot of, there's kind of a lot of similarities, weirdly. And
just,
you know,
fear of the unknown.
And I talk to a lot of people that they tell me that no one believes them, and they make them feel, you know, like they're crazy. And it is, I like to provide a space for people to share that. And like, who the hell are we to say that something's not real or it, mm-hmm. it, you know, yeah. it's,
I agree. I agree so much. I think, like, I wish I've never had an experience like yours. I don't think I was ever, maybe one day I'll be open enough to, like, be able to see, like, a grandma figure.
I mean, that's very rare.
I mean, that's an intense experience. That's a really intense experience.
Yeah, it only happened to me once, actually, seeing a ghost.
I feel like I've had experiences where I see fleeting ghosts. Like, they don't stay long enough for me to really see who they are.
Yeah.
But it happened a couple times when I was driving, and I was with someone, and I was convinced I saw something, like, and then it was just, I could go on and on about my experiences.
Yeah.
But I just love that you have a platform where people can, like, kind of nerd out about this stuff, because, like, it's so refreshing and, like, it's similar to what we said about other things. If you were a kid growing up wanting to learn about Jin, or wanting to, like, oh, someone else saw grandma too, like, kind of thing, you know? So it's like, I just really appreciate that you have this, like, really, like, I don't know, a space for the supernatural, you know?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, a lot of, we talk about, like, sleep paralysis is something that comes up a lot. And it's so fascinating. I mean, that's one of those things that there is science behind it, but there's also, it's also got paranormal elements. It's like, why are people seeing shadow figures? Yeah. I don't know what part of science that is, but
that's pretty surreal.
It's been very interesting talking to so many people and, like, the similarities that we find in those experiences.
That would scare me if I've had friends who have sleep paralysis, and their description of it, see, like, that's something that would wreck me. Like, well, that, I can't imagine.
That makes sense that you would turn off. Then if you, like, are, if you've had a terrifying experience, of course you're going to close yourself off. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine what that would be like.
My only experience where I thought I felt a ghost was it was after my uncle died. I flew to Iran, and I was standing in front, it was at his house, and I was standing in front of a giant portrait of him that they had made for his funeral. Just everything. It was just like all these events going on. And I was alone in the living room, just staring at it. And there was and this was 2016. Yes. No, 2015. 2016. It was 2016. And there was so much energy in the room that it felt like he was standing right next to me. And it was weird because it didn't freak me out like it normally would. Normally I get very overwhelmed by such energy because, like, it literally, to me, it gets too real, as I like to say. I'm always like, it was too real, man. It was too real. It felt too real. But, like, in that moment, there was such a calm that that's when I was like, oh, he's here. Mm-hmm. And then, but that's, like, the most I've ever felt it. And that's the most I've ever had such a calm, like, I was so at peace with knowing that he was, like, there with me and being like, hey, thanks for coming to Iran. Like, just my uncle being like, thanks for coming to my flying across the country or across the world for my funeral. Me being like, no prob, uncle, you know, I got your back. Like, it was such a cool moment. Like, I was like, oh, like, he respects that I came here for him. That's and I'm glad sweet. I could give that to him to, like, come out for him.
Well,
to
see,
show
that's
my respect.
I think for me, I was having a lot of experiences like that, that I was scared because it was unknown to me. But also I realized that it was comforting. Yeah. And I think this is just me, that there are spirits that recognize people that recognize them, or that mm-hmm. like I learned what it was like to have someone in the room that you feel in the room but you can't see them. And yeah. I think that sometimes I have gone to places where a ghost is like, oh my gosh, there's one that would get me, and so they'll, you know, brush by me or something like that. But I think if you're closed off, maybe that, you know, that doesn't happen. I don't know. Yeah. It's fun to talk about.
I think
about,
you're right.
Though.
I think you're right. I mean, like, as someone who, I don't believe in religion or organized religion for myself, but I will say there's something about, like, imagine going into like a big church. Like a big European like church, or like a temple in the desert in the Middle East, or anything, like any type of religious establishment. Like, yes, there's like an awe feeling that you get just by the grandiosity of it. But I think there's a certain degree of energy spiritually there just by the people that have been there before, and not everyone experiences that. Like, I don't believe in Christianity, but I've experienced something in a church before. Like, I've experienced some type of souls that have been there in the past, or something, or death, or I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, like, it makes me excited because I can't, it's like unpredictable. It's this unpredictable, like, but you have to be open to it to have these experiences, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a tangent.
Well, it's very easy to explain away, to be like, the window was open, there was just a draft or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But I could genuinely talk about ghosts and spirituality with you forever. But we're winding down to the end of this podcast. What do you want our listeners to, if you have anything that you're working on, or where to find you? Obviously your podcast, where can they find that? But yeah, drop your socials, drop anything, plug anything you want.
My podcast is Ghosted Explanation Point by Roz Dresfeles, available everywhere you get podcasts. I'm on Instagram at Roz Dresfeles. And yeah, that's pretty much what I have going on right now. But also, you know, if you're able to donate to, you know, organizations that can help out the causes that we're dealing with right now, with to support Black Lives Matter. I mean, I just donated to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, but there's a ton of different great organizations that I'll be posting on Instagram if you don't know those.
Great. I think using our platforms to amplify the voices of Black organizations right now, and places where we can donate to, like, bail people out of jail that don't need to be there, it's really important. So I really appreciate you for using your platform for that. And Anna and I have been sharing so many links on our Twitter.
Oh, great.
So if you guys aren't keeping up there, check out our Twitter. We post our stories on Instagram all the time. Yeah, local Black businesses.
Businesses.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we just have to be good allies. And it's easy to post something, I think, but I hope that our posts can, like, inspire someone to, like, follow through and donate, or, like, learn something. And I've had some uncomfortable conversations on the internet already, and it's been, I mean, we've always had these uncomfortable conversations, but I think they're even a little bit more uncomfortable now because
definitely
they're just a little bit like, if you don't agree with me at this point, like, what can I tell you, kind of thing, you know?
But you know what, the how loud everyone is right now that is so angry, I do feel is affecting a lot of people that did not hear the message for a long time. So that's,
I agree. Mm-hmm.
That's the exciting part. And also, happy Pride Month. Today's June 1st. So that'll be going on all month. And we can remember how that began with the gay rights movement began with riots and, you know, black trans women and queer people and drag queens. And now we are here with that fight.
Change is not comfortable. I think that's what we have to remind people. Like, change is not comfortable, and we have to work through it and give people the space to do that. You know, I don't know. And also join them when they need people, and they need people now.
Yeah.
So
I also recommend checking out Black Visions Collective, which is Black-led queer and trans organization. Yes. Who are helping Black communities to, you know, basically, you know, we got to just dismantle the violence towards Black people. I mean, it's it's so wild to say that and be like, it feels so simple, but this country has a long way to go.
Yeah, a really long way to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you again so much for joining us today. This was honestly a much needed conversation. I think I was kind of nervous going into it because I didn't know how, like, as you mentioned kind of in the podcast, like, it feels weird to, I don't know, like be funny right now or whatever. Yeah. But I do think there was something really therapeutic about this. So thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm going to wrap this out.
I'm glad you tweeted out that you wanted to have people, or to have people have you on their podcast. Because I was like,
I know. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Slid into your DMs real quick.
Yeah. I'm really glad too. This was amazing. I'm going to wrap us out. Is there anything else?
Cool.
I was going to say, Anna, there's a dog behind you, I believe, or it might be a ghost.
Oh, yeah. It's a ghost. Yeah, it's my little pup.
Okay.
He looks like a ghost. He's like a white, poofy figure.
He really is.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, the ghost
is it a ghost?
I'm just,
We'll never know.
Yeah, I miss Ace. That's our, like, mascot for the show that we would hug every time we were done recording, or I would hug. He's on my dog. But haven't had a good dog interaction for a minute. But you know what? Worst problems right now. I need to shut up. Okay, we're Ethnically Ambiguous. It's Ethnically Am, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I'm Shireen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm just at Anna Hostia on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you guys for listening, and until next time,
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.